We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
Well, a very appropriate opening because they are back, both of them. Welcome to Studio Beach, Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Well, good morning, Debbie and everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we have Mark Reardon of The Mark Reardon Show.
Hey, team, how are you?
All good. Right, the band is back together. All right, everybody staying warm?
Yes, well, somewhat.
Barely, yeah.
You said 19. I don't want to quibble. I saw 21 degrees on my dashboard.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's a heat wave.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it'll be 53 on Thursday, so that should feel really nice by the time we get there. Not feeling so good if you are a General Motors employee, because GM says it's going to close 5 factories and lay off nearly 15,000 workers in a move that shows the economy may be starting to slow. The automaker says it would save $6 billion a year by thinning its salaried management ranks, dropping thousands of American and Canadian factory workers, and emphasizing production of larger sport utility vehicles rather than sedans. Charlie, could this be a sign that the economy is slowing, or just another sign that the era of the sedan is over because these factories that they're going to close aren't producing cars they're going to sell anymore?
I don't know as much about the exact vehicles, but we happen to have a Malibu and a Cruise in the Brennan household, and they're both great. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're not selling is because they last longer than they used to. You know, you don't have to buy a car every 4 or 5 years. So they're both very reliable vehicles. And there's also a huge pre-owned used car market now that fits nicely with people's budgets. But hey, if you grew up in St. Louis, like a lot of people did, or Cleveland, like I did, you know that these things are cyclical. It wasn't that long ago we were saying, oh, there's no cars, you know, nobody's buying a car. And then sales took off. And then there's that ebb and flow. It comes around again when sales are down. And man, we've seen this before. So it does happen. It could be a sign the economy is slowing down for sure. And it also could be a sign that better days are ahead.
Mark?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a bit of a mix because, as Charlie pointed out, look, if you go back 10 years, cars were not selling at all. I mean, those numbers were so devastating. It took a while to recover. People who had cars were getting their cars fixed and they weren't buying new cars. Then the economy picks up. New car sales start exploding. People have cars that are new right now that are still dependable. So you have a bit of a slowdown. I do think that part of this is due to a lack of interest in sedans, and they're not very practical for a lot of people, maybe even younger people. I'll give an example of a car that I think sells pretty well and has been very successful, and that's the Nissan Rogue. It's a bit of a crossover. It's a little bit more practical for families. You know, it has a hatchback. It's hard. If you have a sedan and you have a family, I'm not sure how Charlie gets around this. If you buy something, you know, I bought a Christmas tree over the weekend. I don't know where you would put some of those things, and they're a little bit more realistic for people to have. We like our bigger cars in this country. It's just a fact that with low gas prices, you're going to get bigger cars and trucks and SUVs. That's what we want. This is what people do in America. I know that urban dwellers don't like that, but we like our bigger cars. I certainly do.
Well, I'm an urban dweller, and I have a huge car.
Yeah, well, see, you do too, you know, because you have kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, for the Christmas tree, you can always strap that on the roof, or, you know, in the Malibu and the Cruise, the back seat does fold down, giving you extra trunk space.
There you go. All right, well, part two here of General Motors. A lot of people were quick to point out yesterday when this announcement came out that General Motors has complained about the steel tariffs and how that has cost them a lot of money, although a lot of this was in the works before that happened. President Trump says he is not happy about the news that General Motors will be laying thousands off. And he's been pressuring, he says, the company to keep its Ohio plant open, telling GM CEO Mary Barra that this country's done a lot for General Motors. You better get back in there soon. Do you think these factory closures will end up costing Trump politically, Mark?
I don't think so, because I think he's going to manage to, you know, shift the blame. And I don't know that he deserves any blame on this one, because I don't think it has to do with the steel tariffs. So you're going to have a lot of anger. This is about GM satisfying the stockholders and the shareholders. And Mary said yesterday when she announced this that, look, we're doing this in a strong economic time to kind of get ahead of it, because what they're hoping to avoid is with further, you know, a further slide in new car sales, then you're really caught behind the eight ball and you have to lay off people and then your stock shares dwindle. So I think that Trump probably can avoid some political damage here, especially because I think we've seen this show before with him. He's going to be pretty aggressive in trying to get something satisfactory out of GM on this deal. Let's not forget that Ford did this in the spring, too. They're not making a bunch of their sedans either. So this is not just GM.
Well, tariffs don't help if you're buying something from abroad and there's a tariff or a tax on it, or if a foreign country is assessing a tariff on your product made in the United States that's sold elsewhere. I don't think these vehicles were sold in China, but it's possible that some of the parts are more expensive than they used to be. So, yeah, the cost of doing business and manufacturing is often increased for the local guys. We know that when there are tariffs.
All right, we're going to talk about Mars and football and Paul Manafort and so much more when we return, but we've got to check traffic and weather together. KMOX News Time is 8:39.
KMOX.
You ready? Let's go.
This is Overtime.
All right, I'm calling an audible here on round two of OT. Just throwing this out there because I don't know how much people have been paying attention, but the World Chess Championships are going on in London right now, and Fabiano Caruana, who lives right here in St. Louis, could become the world champ. So after 12 games and 12 draws, Fabi is hoping to take the title from Norwegian Magnus Carlsen, who I think is the five-time world champ. It's if you're into chess, this has been pretty edge of your seat stuff. So now it's going into Armageddon. Mark Reardon, have you paid any attention to this at all?
Well, I have Caruana on my chess fantasy team, so I'm really rooting for him here to see if
come on, we want the first American since Bobby Fischer,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah, look, my friend Rex Singfield is very excited about this. And I saw a story, CBS This Morning did a piece on this today. I am not a chess player. I think this is interesting. It's great because we've had, you know, some history with this in the past with Bobby Fischer. So, no, am I following it outside of when I drive home on 44? I don't know if this is true for other parts of the area. Maybe you guys can tell me. When I drive home on 44 West every night, I see a big billboard that updates me on the chess match. So
really?
That's how I'm getting my alerts. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know how many billboards they bought, but that one certainly is in place, and it's been keeping me updated daily.
When you say they, I think it's safe to say it's probably your friend Rex.
I think it is. I think you're right about that.
I would say, if anything, I think it's been completely underplayed in St. Louis. It's gotten
yes.
a tremendous national and international attention, but less so here for whatever reason. And most recently, in this last game, there was a draw where Carlsen extended his hand across the table to Caruana and said, let's draw. And the local guy had no chance of winning, so he eagerly accepted the draw, and everybody in the chess world is saying, why did Carlsen do that? Because he had a chance, a remote chance, of winning, whereas the American did not. And so they're wondering, why did the Norwegian do this? And chess people are saying, it's terrible for the game. He's just extending it. He should have won, but he should have continued. Now, I'm not a chess guy either, but I think this controversy is interesting.
Yeah.
People are going to be talking about this for a long time. I don't know. Maybe after 12 matches where there was draw, 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 they were just tired. He was tired. He couldn't continue. But I don't know. We'll see. Now they go these little killer overtime.
Fast-paced tiebreakers culminating
right.
in Armageddon. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds
yeah.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Magnus Carlsen is a rock star around the world. I mean, he has million-dollar endorsement
yes.
deals for products and stuff. So, I mean, this is a big deal.
When he gets a haircut, the media is there taking photos. Seriously. He can't go throughout Europe without a posse of reporters following him.
So if you're interested in any of this, go to the World Chess Hall of Fame. They can explain it all to you. And actually, if you follow it, you know, the commentary that's being heard around the world is coming from the Chess Club and Scholastic Center in the Central West End. And they have this amazing studio
yes.
in their basement where they have these grandmasters calling the whole thing. It's It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think we're a little slow to jump onto it. Just realizing, of course, this is very serious. You know, similar to Bobby Fischer and Boris Spassky back in the day when it seemingly the entire country was hooked on it. Not so much now, but this guy is a St. Louisan, as you point out.
Right. He lives in the Central West End. All right, the InSight lander, NASA's latest foray to the red planet, has landed. So cheers erupting Monday at the Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, which operates the spacecraft, when InSight sent back acknowledgement of its safe arrival on Mars, which was the end of a journey of more than 6 months and 300 million miles. Now, this is not a rover that's going to go across the planet like those cute little rovers did before. It's going to be stationary and record geological activity over the next several months and hopefully years. Charlie, would you like to see more money spent on space exploration? And at the Science Center, they say this has renewed interest in space among kids. Do you think so?
You know, I'll be honest. I don't know how much we're spending now on space.
Me either.
So I can't say if it should be more or less. I really don't know. I know the nation's $20 trillion in debt, and there's that. But I couldn't say. Obviously, people who love space exploration will tell us that we are woefully underfunding space exploration. But then there are people with boots on the ground here who can point to a zillion problems in downtown St. Louis that are also underfunded.
Is space exploration important, Mark Reardon?
I think it's important. I don't know, you know, other than the fact that I have this amazing fascination with Mars from this past year because it was so close to Earth and I've been watching it and tracking it a little bit. I think it's been cool to see in the sky. I love space exploration just from, you know, I think it's intriguing. But I don't know. I'm not an expert where I can say, yeah, we need to spend more money. I think that there's been an international effort to, you know, sort of pool some of the money together. It's not as competitive as it was in the 1960s. But, you know, when it comes to science and the benefits of this, I absolutely think that you can make a case that this is better tax dollars spent for potential solutions in the future than a lot of things we spend money on. So I don't know. You know, I think the president has indicated we've had a reluctancy to spend a lot of money just because these numbers get very big and we're not in good financial shape. But I think that this is interesting. And I'm pretty, you know, I know this was an exciting moment for NASA yesterday. They've had some things that haven't gone pretty well. So I think it's pretty cool.
All right, one more before we take a break. Paul Manafort back in the news again. The president, Trump's former campaign chairman, apparently repeatedly lied to federal investigators in a breach of a plea agreement he signed 2 months ago. The special counsel's office said in a court filing late Monday, prosecutors working for Robert Mueller said Manafort's crimes and lies about a variety of subject matters relieved them of all promises they made to him in the plea agreement. Do you think he's doing this because he's figuring he'll get a presidential pardon, Mark?
Well, there used to be two things that we could be certain of, death and taxes. There are now three, death, taxes, and Trump pardons. I guarantee you that this will result in a pardon.
Charlie?
You may be right. I don't know. I got to admit, guys, my eyes are glazing over when it comes to the Mueller investigation these days. I can't follow it. It's just, it's been going on forever. Originally, we were supposed to be looking into possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. And, you know, it's in, it's out, it's going on forever. Are we supposed to spend the next 4 or 5 years following this thing? When does it wrap up?
I don't know. It seems like it should be drawing to a conclusion soon, don't you think? But we've been saying that for months now.
I should think so, too. And there's all what I want to know is, was there collusion between Trump and the Russians? I think that was the point of this investigation at one point a long time ago.
KMOX News Time, 8:49.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
It's 8:52. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Mark Reardon. I don't know how much people have been paying attention to this proposal, but it sounds really interesting. It is a 15-mile proposed Shodo Greenway, which would connect Forest Park to the Arch and to neighborhoods north to south. It wouldn't just be a path with grass. It would have some elevated points like New York's High Line, which is awesome if you've ever been to that. It would interact with neighbors like St. Louis University, have art and attractions like Keener Plaza and City Garden, and they're hoping to have a plan finalized by next June. But as of now, there is no funding plan. Charlie, would you like to see this greenway built? And if so, how do you think we could pay for it?
Well, I know it's in the eye of Andy Taylor, the chairman of Enterprise Financial, Enterprise Holdings, And there's probably no better person to have behind any project than Andy Taylor. And he's going to make it happen. I don't know what the funding mechanism is going to be, but he's already put in the lion's share of the private money for the arch renovation. And he also funded the $30 million Soldier Memorial across the way here. His family has been the largest contributor to Forest Park Forever's renovation. And God knows what else along the way, probably more that we don't even know about in Cortex or WashU, whatever. But that is his plan. And it's to connect Forest Park with the arch in numerous ways. And if you drive that way now, you'll see that there's a lot of progress. So he's getting there. I don't know what the funding mechanism is going to be. Obviously, I would not like a sales tax increase, or for that matter, any tax increase that I can think of at the top of my head. But I would imagine that this is in the next 10 or so years going to be something that's done with some sort of public and a lot of private contributions.
What do you think of the idea, Mark?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that we need to do more things like this in St. Louis. However, I think it has to be funded with private donations, and we've done that before. The Arch is a good example. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to have some tax money involved here. I'd have to see a little bit more of the specifics of the plan, but I like the idea, and I think it's good to be thinking about some changes along these lines. I just think that we get hung up on the funding question, and you're right, Charlie. You know, the Taylor family and a lot of people came together. I never thought that that Arch project was realistic with the money that they were trying to raise, but they did it. So when there's a will, there's a way, and I can't see that this would be an unpopular project moving forward unless there's a lot of tax dollars involved.
All right, one more quick one. A study outfitted 60 youth and high school football players who had no history of head trauma or developmental issues with a head impact telemetry system that measured the magnitude, location, and direction of impacts to the head. And by the end of a single football season, 24 children between the ages of 9 and 18 who had more frequent impacts to the head showed signs of damage to brain development. Is this studies like this going to completely kill youth football, Charlie?
I don't think so. You know, the NFL is back in television ratings, right? People love this sport. I don't think it's going to be killed.
Mark?
Well, I don't think it's going to be killed, maybe, but it's not going to help. And I would encourage people, maybe even parents, to watch the interview that Tim Green did on 60 Minutes with Steve Croft a week ago. He's a former NFL player and author. He's been on Cam Wex many times before. Charlie, you may have even talked to him. And
yes.
He has ALS, and there's a lot of growing, you know, indication that ALS may be caused by some of these head injuries as well. So it's serious. I'm the biggest football fan on the planet. I have a little girl right now. If I had a little boy, I might be pretty hesitant to get that little boy into football. Having said that, there are injuries in all kinds of sports that are serious.
Yeah, and the NFL's ratings have surged again this year, so I guess people have stopped being angry at them. I have a 9-year-old son who has been watching nonstop football highlights on YouTube, and he keeps saying, "Can I play football? Can I play football?" And the answer is no. No, you cannot. Anyway, I hate to break his dreams, but there you go. All right, Charlie Brennan, you've got 10 seconds. What's coming up after the news at the top?
Well, will there or should there be, by law, a vote on any possible public funding for a soccer stadium? St. Louis University Professor of Law John Ammon joins us on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.